Let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 16. Last week I began a study of this chapter. I'm trying to go through more or less chapters at a time in this series, but I didn't cover everything I wanted to cover last week. So what I'd like us to do is to read the first 15 verses, 14 verses of 2 Samuel 16, and remind ourselves where we are. David, by the betrayal of Absalom, apparently was awakened by God to his sinfulness, to his dullness. And even though he had repented from the warning of Nathan in 2 Samuel 12, that David would see the consequences of his sin against Uriah and Bathsheba in his family, that God would bring discipline upon David through his children. I don't think David expected to see what he saw with Absalom. And so when Absalom rebelled against David, it seems to me that he was awakened to his lethargy toward God. He was convicted, as we find later in 2 Samuel. He was convicted of not raising his children as he should, that he let them go their own way instead of actively fathering his children, especially his sons. And so we find David under the discipline of the Lord. Now, he was a believer. His sins had been forgiven. He was right with God and justified, but his sanctification had not been consistent. And God now disciplines him in love to bring him back into the ways of God, into the paths of righteousness. And this discipline was terrible in the face of his son Absalom. So as David in chapter 16 leaves Jerusalem and crosses over the Kidron stream in the valley, the Kidron Valley there, he climbs up the Mount of Olives and he reaches the top point of Mount Olive. And, two men meet him. First, Ziba, who we saw last time, was the steward of Saul's properties. And Mephibosheth had been given Saul's properties by David previously and allowed to sit at David's table. But now Ziba was here bringing all kinds of supplies to David for his men and their retreat from Jerusalem. And he tells a lie. He tells David that Mephibosheth is back up in Jerusalem contemplating becoming king in his place. We have no evidence of that in the scripture or history. And so Ziba tricked David, and David, not watching as he should, not using the wisdom of the Proverbs, not using the wisdom by which he had seen, as it were, the motives of men at times and made right judgments, accepted Ziba's report on Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, Saul's grandson, and without evidence, without a second or third witness to corroborate the truthfulness of Ziba's statement about Mephibosheth, he accepted Ziba's word and gave to Ziba all the property of Mephibosheth, all the property of Saul. And now Mephibosheth was left out on the edge of things, without support, without sitting at the king's table any longer. And we found from all of that last time that we need to be careful in our speech and what we say. We also need to be careful in what we hear and not accept slander on the basis of one witness or one gossip, who is not an eyewitness, but carries on tales. But rather, we as Christians are called to be careful in how we hear, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. And in this case, David, the believer, David, who was accepting the discipline of the Lord, did not watch himself. He did not think clearly with Ziba, and he did an injustice to Mephibosheth. We must be careful about gossip and slander, whether it's in our family or at work or in the church of Jesus Christ, for God's word is true, and he wants our words to be true. And we're not to let any unwholesome word proceed from our mouth, but only that which is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Ziba didn't do that, and David didn't have the discernment. And then we move on now to the second person in this chapter, which is Shimei, or Shimei. Let's see what happened with David's dealings with Shimei, and we'll read from verses 1 through 14. Now when David had passed beyond the summit, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of saddled donkeys, and on them were 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a jug of wine. And the king said to Ziba, "Why do you have these?" And Ziba said, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for whoever is faint in the wilderness to drink." Then the king said, "And where is your master's son?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is staying in Jerusalem, for he said, 'Today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me.'" So the king said to Ziba, "Behold, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours. Hasty judgment, without evidence, without corroborating witness." And David did much damage to Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, "I prostrate myself. Let me find favor in your sight, O Lord, O my Lord, the king." So Ziba was willing to give praise and adoration to David in order that he could get what he wanted out of him. And that's something we must not do to God, to feign or pretend love or spirituality to God, because we have in the back of our minds, if I don't, I won't get something. That's the legalism that Tom was talking about this morning, where we put conditions upon God's blessings from our own behavior, as if we could manipulate God. But God simply calls us to trust him and obey. And he is the one who takes care of his own. So we come to verse 5 about this other person that I didn't cover last week, named Shimei, or Shimei. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out there, from there a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came out cursing continually as he came. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand, were at his right hand and at his left. That means the men of David surrounded Shimei. And thus Shimei said when he cursed, get out, you man of bloodshed, you worthless fellow. The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom, and behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, which was David's sister, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over now and cut off his head." Now that's a very bloody thought, but it has a little humor in it, doesn't it? Let me go over and just cut his head off. But the king said, "What have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah? If he curses, and if the Lord has told him, 'Curse David,' then who shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" Then David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son who came out from me seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite? Let him alone, and let him curse. For the Lord has told him, 'Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day.'" So David and his men went on the way, and Shimei went along the hillside parallel with him. And as he went, he cursed and cast stones and threw dust at him. And the king and all the people who were with him arrived weary, and he refreshed himself there. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us to believe and understand that every word of Scripture is inspired of God and without error and profitable for instruction and rebuke and correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete and equipped for every good work. So help us not to skip over these portions, but to understand what they mean, what they say, how we may apply them to ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we come to Shimei. Shimei in verses 5 through 8 appears as a man of the tribe of Benjamin. And as David was taking his people to the Jordan River, crossing over the Mount of Olives, this man shows up. And it says he's from the family of Saul. And so he came out cursing David and throwing rocks. And we're not sure exactly why he was doing this, but perhaps he himself had been affected by the fact that David became king in place of Saul. Perhaps it was that he lost some kind of property or inheritance or even esteem as a relative of Saul. But whatever was in his mind, he came out cursing and throwing stones at David. He blamed David for all his troubles. And he refused to submit to God's will for David and for himself in his life. So in verse 6, he threw stones at David, and the men of David surrounded him to protect David and probably to stop him from doing this. But in verse 7, we find that he calls David a man of bloodshed and worthless. And that might be called, back in the hills of Alabama, fighting words. But you notice something that happened here. David did not defend himself, because he was, in fact, a man of bloodshed. He had killed Uriah to get Bathsheba. He'd already seen that son die as part of God's discipline. And now he saw other sons rising up in rebellion against him. So he, from his own bloodshed, was reaping the consequences of that in his family. And he was worthless. We just sang that. "Weak and worthless though I am." If we understood the evil of sin and how it disgusts God, who is all good and righteous, then we would be equally amazed at his kindness to shower his grace upon us. Overcoming evil with good. So David did not fight back against Shimei's accusations, because deep down he knew that he was a man of bloodshed and he was a sinner. And as a result of his life and sins, he was worthless before God except for his grace. In verse 8, he said to David, that is, Shimei said to David, that God has returned upon you all the bloodshed of Saul's house and given the kingdom into Absalom's hand, and you are being repaid for your evil. So Shimei had come to believe that what had happened with Absalom and David's departure from Jerusalem and seeking safety in another place was God repaying him with justice, punishing him for his sins, and rightly so in Shimei's mind. But we need to see here that Shimei was not a believer, because he did not believe that Samuel the prophet was right in designating David as the future king of Israel. And he did not believe God was right through Samuel to make David his king. So he had a rebellious heart. And when everything seemed to fall apart in the kingdom and in Saul's property and in any blessings he had from being of the house of Saul, he struck out at the person that was nearest he could blame. And it was David. It was because of David that all this trouble had come upon him. But what Shimei did not understand is that this was all from God. He wrongly blamed David for Saul's death because Saul brought that upon himself. But when we are discontented with our lot in life, a great temptation arises. Though we inwardly are at root discontented with God and his sovereign will for our life and what he's doing in our life this very day, we strike out at those who seem to bring the trouble. And that's what Shimei was doing. He really had a problem with God, but he struck out at David, whom he could see. It is sad, but people do that. They become angry at God for their lot in life. Oh, they would never say, "I'm angry with God," but they complain and grumble and get depressed and angry about the circumstances of their life, or this person that's in their life, or this other person that's causing grief in their life. And so they find themselves justified to have anger against this person who is sinful and has done them wrong, but they do not realize that God sent that person into their life for a purpose. God brought them there. And the circumstances they're going through is the design of an almighty and good God for their life and their soul. Now, David didn't always, he believed that, but he didn't always respond that way to the different people that came into his life. But here, it's as if God enlightens David and reminds him that he was indeed worthless and a man of bloodshed and deserved nothing from God, and it was not anything wrong with God bringing someone in his life to tell him the truth about himself or to cause trouble for himself and grief for himself, because God had a purpose in sending Shimei. Shimei is a good example of unbelief and how it brings bitterness to all of life. There are times when a Christian, a true Christian, may not see and understand the providential will of God, that is, things as they have come to you. And not being able to understand with good reason why this is happening, or has happened, or fear may happen. Instead of trusting God in His perfect righteousness and goodness, in His perfect sovereignty over all things in life, and His plan for our life, whereby He works all things after the counsel of His will, instead of trusting Him and looking at life as a message from God to live as a Christian, we become embittered inside at the trouble we're going through and how everything is hard. And why can't it be easier? And why does God have to allow this or allow that in my life? I'm trying to follow Him. I'm trying to obey Him the best I can, which is a legal statement. I'm doing pretty good for You, God, so why are You bringing all this junk in my life? We find that Shimei and others, including God's own people, at times lose focus and understanding and lose heart. And all the time they don't know, they don't understand that according to the doctrine of sin in the Bible, that every sin is always against God, no matter who is in between. When Christians begin to understand that, they begin to realize that they have a lot of remaining anger or bitterness or doubt in their minds. And they're forced to return to God and confess sin and unbelief remaining and return to Him and trust Him in the face of these circumstances. But sometimes it's a long road to get to that point. But faith, trust in God's goodness and sovereignty together in all His acts of providence. And though we cannot explain them nor understand them fully, we believe in Him and trust Him and live a godly life in the midst of those trials. In such faith, we find the strength to love God and man, even our enemy. And I would ask, is that the case with you? In the midst of a difficult situation or a stressful situation or things are not going right or someone didn't do what you asked them to do or you didn't do what they asked you to do and people are getting uncomfortable, they're getting a little stressful, they're starting to be critical of each other, and the next thing you know, anger begins and outbursts begin. And what do you think about at those times? David, at this time, in his right mind, said, God sent Shimei to me. David's response was that he would not condemn Shimei and told his soldiers to step down, to stand back from Shimei instead of attacking. So don't be a Shimei, but don't be an Abishai either, in verse 9. Where Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over now and cut off his head. Now, first he called him a dead dog, and that was sinful. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5, if you use these kinds of terms, you fool, you good for nothing, you raca, you have murdered that person in your heart. and that Christians are to refrain from using such condescending things. This man, Shimei, was made in the image of God, and he was a sinner, and so was Abishai. And for Abishai to come down and say, "Let me kill this dead dog," was an act of self-righteousness that's remaining in all of us. Where we look at another person and say, "At least I'm not like him or her or them." And we find ourselves thinking of derogatory thoughts toward them and begin to say bad things toward them and characterize them. A man made in God's image, created to know God and serve God, we call him a dead dog. That's an act of self-righteousness and self-importance. That's a terrible smell in the nostrils of God. But Abishai is not the only one. You remember when the sons of Zebedee, James and John, came. Jesus was preaching to the multitudes, and many people were not believing and turning away from him. And James and John says, "Let's call down lightning from heaven and strike all these people and just kill them." What self-righteousness. Did they think they'd come to believe of their own ability? Did they think they were more righteous than these other unbelievers? Did they think that they were better, more intelligent? Well, they thought something like that. Because they hated them and wish God would remove them from their lives and the scene. Hatred goes very deep. It manifests itself in many ways. But both Abishai and James and John had in the root of their hearts and minds right now a forgetfulness that the only reason they would be accepted by God was pure mercy and grace, as we have been taught. And they began to think somehow they were better than another, and it came out of their mouth in the way they treated them and the things they said about them. But David would not be moved by lust for vengeance against Shimei, because he was worthless in and of himself, and he had shed blood and murdered. He knew who he was, just like Paul telling Titus, "Remind them," in Titus 3, what we read in the call to worship. Remind them of what they were and the things they did and how they were hateful and hating one another. But God came and intervened and stopped them in their tracks and helped them see their sin and see a Savior and come to Him of their own will, because their will had been restored by God. So that salvation is all of grace, and there is no place for boasting or self-righteousness or condescension or condemning others because you think yourself more righteous than they. Psalm 103 is one of Debbie and my favorite psalms, and it says, "God has never dealt with us according to our sins." And that's something every Christian should remember. That on any given day, no matter what comes our way, or how others treat us, or what they say to us or about us, we can always say, "I'm a man of bloodshed and a worthless fellow." And that we deserve much more than we get from God or man. But we also need to see the other side of that coin, and that is that God restrains Himself from bringing justice and punishment upon his people who trust in him. Because he has answered the question of justice in the face of Jesus Christ, as we heard. And in him we are declared righteous. So where is our personal righteousness that is better than another's? Where do we get the platform of condemnation toward others, of criticism and naming names that are derogatory and saying words that hurt? It is true that others may sin against us as Christians. And in fact, the Bible teaches that they will, as we'll see in a moment. But it's another thing for a Christian to sin against others. And that's what the blood of Christ is about, the resurrection is about, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is about, the Word of God and its instructions is about, that God has worked in us and plucked us up out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, the kingdom of light, to shed light upon the world of the things of God and to overcome those remaining selfish, self-righteous attitudes that remain in the Christian as a form of unbelief. So David, in verses 10 through 13, rebukes Abishai. He may have failed to respond properly to Ziba, but here David reminds himself of God's sovereignty over all things, including Shimei's cursing and throwing rocks at him and dust at him and shaming him in public. He tells the men to stay away from Shimei and let him curse me. He says, the Lord may have told him to curse me, and who can question God in his sovereign will? Do you think like that? All of us experience trials, sometimes the sins of others against us, harsh words, untruths. These may happen. But David, in that moment, reminded himself of his real condition before God and God's mercy upon him, so that he was able to say to his men, God perhaps has told him to curse me, and who can question God? And he, in verse 11, David reminded Abishai that Shimei's cursing and throwing rocks and dust and so forth was bad, but it was not worse than what Absalom, his son, had done. That Absalom sought his life. So who can blame this Benjamite for cursing me, he says. Leave him alone. Let him curse me. And this is the phrase in verse 11 that just really challenges our thinking. Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord has told him. The Lord has told him. Now, the mystery of God's sovereignty and man's will is great. And I can say right here that the curse of Shimei came from his own heart and desire and his hatred of David. And every curse that came out of his mouth, he will stand before God, who is holy and does not wish to look upon sin, and bring him to judgment for those words, every curse. And yet, in the sovereignty of God to bring his will to pass upon the earth, the Lord removes his restraints from the sinful heart of man, that he may sin only as far as God permits. Now that's hard to understand, but we need to understand that if God has permitted others to sin against us in our life and cause us troubles, it is by His permission and purpose. God does not sin, nor does He tempt anyone to sin, but He does withdraw His restraining hand from the depravity of man's heart, that it may come out more for His purposes. Proverbs 16 says that God has made everything for His own purpose, even the wicked for the day of wrath. And so, David's belief in the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God helped him to restrain himself from revenge against Shimei, from striking back as he had been struck, from saying the same things. There are so many things he could have said to Shimei about his own sinfulness, about refusing to accept the prophecies of Samuel that David was appointed by God to be king, which Shimei was rejecting right now. He could have told him that he was condemned for his sin and was on the way to God's wrath because of his words against David, against me. But David didn't do that. And when Abishai wanted to cut his head off, David said, "Leave him alone and let him curse me, for God has told him." That's a whole different approach to life than the way the world thinks. Revenge, revenge, revenge in the heart. Or blocking out is dead to me. I have no concern for these people or this person. They are dead to me. But David would not let Abishai take that kind of revenge upon even Shimei. God always has a purpose in these trials in our life. As Tom was teaching us about sanctification as believers, God has a plan. And that plan is to restore not only our soul to God through Christ and justification, but also to restore our soul to Christ-likeness, to God-likeness. And this only comes on earth in a fallen world as we believe the truth about the Lord Jesus and live in this world which will bring trials in order that it may create in our hearts a greater love for our enemy, a greater forgiveness than we've ever been able to muster, a humility to not look upon this person as worse than ourselves, but as Paul said, "I am the chief of sinners, myself." That we would live with thanksgiving for the grace of God and for the work of Christ, and that every circumstance upon the earth comes from the hands that are still pierced for our soul and for our salvation. Only hands of love to help us to become like Himself. And so the believer responds to those who have sinned against him greatly, even as the Lord Jesus Christ responded to His enemies. How patient he was with the Pharisees. How forgiving he was upon the cross as those who nailed his hands, who cursed him to his face, who shouted for his death, he cries to the Father, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Father, forgive them." That's the spirit, at least a taste of that spirit in David in this passage. If the Lord Jesus Christ could so quickly and plainly forgive those who cursed him and plucked his beard and his hair and slapped him and crowned him with a crown of thorns, and beat him with a rod and spit upon him and called him names and nailed him to a tree and lifted him up to die. If he could ask mercy from the Father for such people who actually killed him, and for such people as we are who actually caused his death, then surely we can love our enemies. And there's much more here in this passage, but we find that in 2 Samuel 19. If you'll turn there with me, just turn a few pages. We find in this passage that Shimei appeared again. And as David returned across the Jordan and headed toward Jerusalem, the first person that met him in verse 16 was Shimei. Then Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite who was from Bahurim, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, with Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, his 20 servants with him, and they rushed to the Jordan before the king. Then they kept crossing the ford to bring over the king's household and to do what is good in his sight. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before King David as he was about to cross the Jordan. So he said to the king, "Let not my lord consider me guilty, nor remember what your servant did wrong on the day when my lord the king came from Jerusalem, so that the king should take it to heart. For your servant knows that I have sinned, and therefore, behold, I have come today, the first of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet my lord the king." But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Should not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" And David then said, "What have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be an adversary to me? Should any man be put to death in Israel today? For do I not know that I am king over Israel today?" And the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." Thus the king swore to him. Now this passage is such an illustration of so many things. It certainly is an illustration of the grace of Christ to us, that when we come to him in repentance for our sin, and God has brought us to that point, we can be assured that there will be mercy. "For the one who comes to me," he said, "I will in no wise cast out." So if you have sinned against God, who has not, you may go to him in the name of Christ and the work of Christ, and may believe that you are forgiven. But this confession is one man to another man. And it's a good illustration of how we should go to those on earth that we have sinned against and confess to them that we have sinned against them and ask mercy and forgiveness from them, that we may be reconciled. So we see God dealing with David, who was not always perfect and was inconsistent between Ziba, how he dealt with Ziba, and how he dealt with Shimei, as we are still inconsistent in our lives, and yet using David's patience and restraint of revenge and even kindness toward Shimei, that God used that in Shimei's heart and life to convict him of his sins and send him to God in repentance and restoration to David to make David's enemy his friend. Perhaps you've done this and gone to another, confessed your fault, and they rejected you. They would not forgive you. But I have good news for you. God forgave you in Christ's blood and righteousness. And who knows but that your humility to go and confess your fault to one another may work in the heart and mind of the other to the point that they begin to see their fault and their sin as well and come to you by the witness of your humility and grace toward them, come to God themselves and be restored to you no longer as an enemy but a friend. Proverbs says a gentle answer turns away wrath. That works between a husband and wife, parents and children, pastors and people, bosses and workers. God's rules for speech and for kindness never change. Because our Lord Jesus Christ never changes. And God's mercy is infinite and eternal and unchangeable to sinners, showing us what we are to be in this world. David wasn't perfect, but by faith, he exercised a right behavior toward Shimei, and Shimei, through David's witness, became his friend. If you have sinned against others in such a way that they know you've sinned, then you are called by God to leave your offering at the altar and go first be reconciled with them before you bring your offering to the altar, Matthew 5. And seek their forgiveness. And if they ran it, then you've restored your relationship. If they do not, God is your refuge and strength. But you can know that you obeyed the Lord who loved you when you were his enemy. If we say that we have no sin, we are liars and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is amazing. Amazing. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Neither Ziba or Shimei are good examples of how we should respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, our King. Some may feign belief in order to get something out of him, but they will be revealed later. And others may say at first, I will not follow him, but then come and submit themselves to him as Lord, and they shall be blessed. Is there need for anyone here to repent today of sin? Of anger against God, of hatred of his providences and the people in them. The good news is that if you confess your sins to God, he is faithful and righteous to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And if you have need of going to someone whom you've sinned against and you haven't made peace with them, our God calls us to be humble, not self-righteous, to confess our faults, and to seek peace with all men, that we may be sons of God and sons of light. Is it so with you? Do you seek to do that? Are you willing to admit your faults, your sins, to humble yourself and go to someone made in God's image and perhaps a child of Christ, and you refuse to humble yourself and ask forgiveness of them? That's not true religion. But those who know their place in the kingdom of God, that it is only by grace that they are saved, have nothing to fear or regret by confessing our faults one to the other and to God. For our Savior is so great that He cleanses us from all sin. So go to Him, confess your faults and sins, believe in His promise to forgive, and then go and make reconciliation with those whom you have sinned against. In that way, be a Shimei. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures that tell us the reality of human nature and even the still fallibility of Christian nature. Help us to see in David a man who was not consistent in all things, but still loved you, sought to keep your commandments, and confessed his wrong. And we ask that you would help us, dear Lord, to, in our life, accept your providence, not as our enemy, but as our friend, to teach us how to love better, to have joy in trial, to have peace that passes understanding, kindness that is akin to your kindness to us, and so forth. Help us to be conformed to the image of Christ through our trials and your providence. Help us to believe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.